Lake Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Mitch Teich. When CNN first went on the air in 1980, it marked the launch of the first 24/7 television network devoted solely to news. A lot has happened in the 33 years since, and the television news landscape is now filled with all news and analysis options. Yet, as the choice has increased, the number of people turning to television for news is decreasing. The founders of a new multi-platform, including television network, believe part of the problem lies in the old-fashioned way in which TV is telling stories. The new network, called TouchVision, promises not news stories, but what it terms news movies. It went on the air and online in recent weeks. It's headquartered in Chicago, but its first broadcast outlet is on channel 58.4 in Milwaukee. We reached two of the founders of the network separately by Skype. First, we're joined by Chief Content Officer Lee Abrams. Welcome to the show.
Great to be here.
Can you explain the concept of a news movie to me?
Traditionally, television news are newscasts, where there's anchors behind a desk and clips of news that are usually supplemented with a reporter and a mic and all that. This is more of a pure cinematic approach to storytelling. One way of looking at it is we don't report, we transport, meaning we like to transport people not to a newsroom when they watch, but to the actual point of where the story is. We joke that if we were doing a story on Cairo, you could almost smell the food stalls, you know, of that city, because it takes you there rather than to a studio. Another way of looking at it is just one of our internal slogans or checklists we have for all of our people producing is eye, ear, brain. That's where we want every piece to be visually stunning, using every imaginable piece of video we can find, from retro to graphics to animation to just raw footage. So there's a cinematic effect. It's, again, like watching a movie of the news rather than a cast of the news. The other component is ear, where every story has a soundtrack to it. It can, and we're very cautious of it getting a little overblown or even hokey, but by being really cautious about it, we can add a sonic element that really, I think, elevates the whole storytelling process. In other words, if we're doing a story on tornadoes in Texas, we might use a Willie Nelson piece. Or if we were doing a story on war, maybe it's Wagner. So we're using as much sound as possible to tell the story, again, much like a soundtrack in a movie. And the third thing is brain, where we want it to be intelligent, not elite, but not dumb. Want it to have a plot and really tell a story rather than just sort of going through the news and onto the next story, onto the next. And the whole result is something we came up with, which was news movie, because it really is like that, a movie of the world at the moment.
Well, what did you see? Where did news anchors and reporters, to some degree, get in the way for you?
In all due respect, there are traditional newscasts that are very successful, and we all watch them, and that's great. But we just see an opportunity for a new way to deliver news. One way of looking at it is sort of on the far left, you have pop culture news, which is amusing and very, very light. And it's all about the latest from the Paris Hiltons. Then on the right side, you have very traditional news with the anchor people and, you know, the furniture and all that. And we just think there's an opportunity in the middle where it's not light and pop, but it's not traditional. It just might be time for a reinvention of news. And it was sort of what really also helped was traditional news has become material for parody, particularly Onion and even the Jon Stewarts. You know, people are kind of making fun of the traditional news. So rather than making fun of it or whining about it, let's try a whole new, different approach, sort of blow up the playbook and see what we can come up with. And I think we came up with something that's going to engage the public, at least our target, which is more 18 to 40 type people.
Do you feel, is there a certain overlap with social media that's happening here? I mean, it seems like the idea of being at least to some degree unfiltered and certainly on the ground where you're coming from takes a cue from the Twitters and the Facebooks of the world.
Yeah, you know, we look at it first and foremost as a reimagination of the television news experience. And if there's no such thing as social media, I still think it would have dramatic impact. We look at social media as just a modern marketing tool. And, you got to have visibility on Facebook and the ability to share stories and interactivity. But it's really modeled after a reimagination of the product itself, because there are a lot of news services out there that are all about sharing and tweeting.
Sure.
And all that stuff. But we're really all about the experience of watching and listening to news in a whole new way. So I look at social media as an important marketing component rather than anything that drives the content.
Well, so in terms of the content generation, where is it coming from? I mean, conventional news outlets are obviously closing down bureaus around the world. So how does a startup hope to get a true worldview? Where are you reaching out to and how are you reaching out?
So we've done licensing deals with most, if not all, of the major sources for raw video. But it's interesting that we try to stretch out beyond just the traditional. And, you know, we did a thing the other day, a thing called Deja News, where we took old newsreels from 50, 60 years ago and aired them with a little opening about why we're doing it. But we did one on Syria, and I think it was from the 50s. And it was all about the Syrian rebels fighting the government, but it was a newsreel from years ago. And some of that stuff is fascinating, too, just finding new ways of telling today's stories. There's so much archival stuff out there that's just fascinating that rarely sees the light of day, at least on traditional television.
Now, one of the defenses that you probably have heard people offer to the conventional way of doing things with television news is that the thing about visible anchors and reporters and bylines is the sense of accountability they offer. There is something about knowing who your news is coming from. First of all, how do you address that issue? And secondly, who is your news coming from?
The way the process works is, we have editorial meetings in a newsroom and all that, just like any traditional news organization has. And once we determine what stories are for the day, we will comb all of our assets, again, ranging from Reuters to CNN, AP, and beyond, which are certainly credible. And then we do what's called touch visionize it, which is where we add our narration, add additional visual elements, we add our soundtrack, edit it, and then it goes out to the viewer. And our mix of people is pretty much an even balance of people professionally trained in journalism. Our executive producer comes from WPIX, one of the bigger stations in New York. He was news director. Our managing editor comes from NBC here in Chicago. And then we have a lot of people who, particularly on the creative side, who don't have news experience, and we hire them for their sort of new take on things. And in fact, they don't have any baggage as far as what it has to look like or is supposed to look like based on tradition. These people come from every place, from ad agencies to independent filmmakers. But as far as the credibility question, that's probably the most important thing, because one problem with social media is you don't know who to believe. So it's very important, and we have many filters here that ensure we're telling the truth to the best of our ability. And we also are very conscious about both sides. And, you know, let people decide. It really is fair and balanced. But, number one point, and I think a differentiator from a lot of the up-and-coming internet-based news sources is, the journalistic integrity is absolutely critical. We have lots of cross-checks to make sure we're telling it like it is.
What's your take on localizing the experience? The television part of it is only one component, but do you envision a day where you're going to be tailoring things specifically towards viewers in a local area versus any other local area?
Well, we do that now. Every local affiliate, like 58 in Milwaukee, has a 3-minute cutaway where, in the Touch Vision style, they do 3 minutes of local news. As we grow our TV affiliate base, that's the expectation that everybody will have their 3 minutes to present the local story. The other 57 minutes, we are geared for national and global news. But, local certainly is important, and that's why the affiliates contribute their segments.
This is not a model that exists really anywhere else. Is there a little sense within the newsroom of learning as you go?
Oh, God, yeah. As a matter of fact, since we occupied we called it an oasis rather than a newsroom, but it is a newsroom. We occupied it January 2nd, and literally up through August, we have been rehearsing and holding what we call boot camps, which sounds scary, but they're not. And those are sessions that go several hours where we just interact with each other and talk about how do we pull this off. It's all written, and we have a playbook. Okay, now we've got to execute it. And so that was just a group learning experience for months. And again, it's similar to what we went through at XM, because we had 2 years while they built the satellites to do the same thing, boot camp, unlearn everything we've learned and relearn it for the new era and for what we are. So Yeah, the learning experience has been remarkable for everybody, including, you know, certainly myself. And but it's been fun. You know, it's how do we become you know, the next major global news source? And you know, there's a lot of unwinding cliches and a lot of just talking amongst ourselves and, you know, rethinking how can we do everything better. And we're still learning, but I think we're at a point now where it's launch worthy. But I think it'll be an ongoing learning experience. The next major learning experience will be, you know, hearing feedback from actual viewers, because they may like some of our features and dislike others. And, you know, certainly in a controlled way, we'll be receiving a lot of input.
Well, it is it's really interesting stuff, and I wish you the best of luck with it. Lee Abrams, thanks so much.
Well, I appreciate the time. Thank you.
Lee Abrams is co-founder and chief content officer for TouchVision, a news network that launched on TV and the internet in recent weeks. We also reached Steve Saslow, another co-founder of TouchVision. He holds the title of CEO of the network and is in charge of just about everything except the news content. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start where this all started for you, with the idea that broadcast news could be re-envisioned. Where was this in your mind before it became a reality?
There's two parts. Number one was a long time ago, Lee and I had worked together. This is the 70s, on our own and eventually at NBC, developing the Source Network. And Lee had put the notion forth at that time of, gee, you know, television news really hasn't reinvented itself in a long time. And we had done that with the Source Network, which was the first network of news and information to work, and I'll use the word collegially, with the rock radio format that Lee had pretty much put together. And as time went on, and we're talking a number of years, Lee is working on developing the concept, the one that you see that's up in Milwaukee. And I'm running around with agencies and watching technology, because that has always fascinated me and has driven me to create models both for marketing and for ad revenue, talking to agencies about bandwidth and the idea that there could be television unsiloed. Why do we have to buy media or watch things in a way that are siloed? We watch TV, we watch things on tablets, we watch things on our mobile phones, but what's wrong with the ability to have multiple screens to follow the habits that we've created with the new technology, and for an advertiser to have one buy and reach that target audience across all four streams? And so in the past few years, as we started to see the expansion of bandwidth and the practicality of putting video across that, there is the distribution model for TouchVision, where you've got on-air, online, on mobile. The on-air, obviously, are television stations, just like WDJT, and we're hoping to have an affiliate in every market. And the online and mobile are the web-enabled and the tablets and mobile devices that allow us to stream TouchVision simultaneously across all of those platforms.
What's interesting about this is, I guess, the notion that the reimagining of broadcast news, the key is that broadcast is really only one component.
It is, but broadcast, to me, expanded the first time with cable, and now broadcast means anything that you put across really any air or cable wave. So when we talk about broadcast, that's what I mean by television unsiloed. It's not just one place. Even television stations and networks are starting to take their programming and put it across other platforms, just as we are doing.
Why was Milwaukee the right place to do this first?
Milwaukee was the right place because our strategic partner had a station there, and Milwaukee is a really good town to do these types of things. It's a great cross-section of people. It's a competitive media market, and it gives us a good indication of how this is going to behave when we roll it out shortly on a national basis.
Well, and even before we set up this interview, I ran across TouchVision on what may well have been its first day on the air, but only because I happened to be channel surfing through channel 58.4. I can't imagine that is the ideal way of spreading the word. How are you going about marketing and distribution?
There are three ways that we're doing it. Number one is with our affiliate partner, which is WDJT, using their assets to reach audiences. Number two is through social media. Remember, Facebook, Twitter, etc., they are networks. We label them as social media. So we have paid and free search going on there, and also radio and television buys in the marketplace. And we've created a media mix that, by the way, is working extremely well. We're getting a very good response to the app and to the programming.
What has been the most difficult thing to explain to people about what Touch Vision is? I suspect there's a certain amount of laying this out in terms that didn't exist not that long ago.
I think the most difficult part is not laying it out in such specific terms and following what other organizations have done before in positioning and marketing their brand. And by allowing more of the pictures and the stories to be the visual that entices people to go and check out what Touch Vision really is, that seems to be the magic in what's making this work.
You talk about being unsiloed, and it's sort of hard for me to ask this question, but do you see yourself in competition with conventional television, with conventional internet? What is your ultimate aim for this?
Absolutely not at all. We are, I think, an enhancement to our affiliate partner. Remember, we are partners with a television station that does a very good job with their news programming reaching the audience that it was intended for, mostly 50 plus. And what this does is we call this news that is targeted towards millennials plus, 18 to 34 year olds, the sweet spot being 25 to 35 years old. So I don't think this competes. This is an adjunct because, as we said, television has really not attracted the next generation of news viewers. You can look at any of the ratings in the top 25 markets as an example, and you'll see that they skew older. What we're doing is we are, in a way, reinventing the relationship between a network and its affiliate. A network is supposed to be able to produce those things that a TV station locally could do, but they might be economically not affordable for them. So if what we're saying is that here is television unsiloed, here is a national news organization with a new style of programming, a new distribution platform, and a new model of selling this that takes television into the future, then I don't think this competes at all. I think this helps them greatly.
Given the amount of time that has gone into to preparing to launch this, this must be a pretty exciting time.
It's an unbelievably wonderfully exciting time because all of the elements of this are coming together. You know, after you've done a number of new projects, whether early on, whether you've got something that's going to take hold or not, and this seems to be working extremely well, any way you want to judge it.
Well, Steve Saslow, thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thanks. Appreciate the time.
Steve Saslow is CEO of Touch Vision, a television and internet news network that launched in September. Its first local market is Milwaukee, where you can see it at digital channel 58.4. You'll find a link to the online version from wuwm.com/lakeeffect. Another break now, and then a Milwaukee man's memoir of growing up in New York in the 1960s with his famous writer father. That's when Lake Effect returns on WUWM.